overflowing with love. I am overflowing with happiness. I am filled with the power to make a change. You create a brand new life. I am overflowing.
Welcome to the podcast of the Sunday Celebration from the Center for Spiritual Living in Huntsville, Alabama. We hope you feel the grace, the beauty, and the love of our community as you hear the message of the week.
Wow. Going to the mythic with song, the earlier songs, these songs, I mean, it's that does something right here for our heart. And there is somehow following with just regular words doesn't have the same energy, but I'll see which wants to show up. Such an honor to be here, the shaman school, to be here in this community this weekend. This is a beautiful space. Each one of you, even if this is your first time here, somehow in the world of shamanism, all times exist in the one time. So this place is a prepared space for awakening and discovering and showing up. And so I want to thank all of you, and I want to thank David for the stewardship that he offers to this community and for his asking me to come up and offer some things this morning and send a blessing to him where he's at on his journeys. I was reminded as I sat here listening to the songs and just the quality of this space and remembering a story from years ago. I was in the high mountains of the Peruvian Andes, and I had come into a village, and in a little village in the mountains in the Andes, I mean, because there's so much open space and it's so quiet, you can hear the village many hours before you arrive to it because there is such silence. So you could hear the barking dogs. You could, you know, I'm walking in and you could hear the, you know, the sounds of like almost people talking and singing. And you were thinking, oh, it's right around the corner. And I'm sweating and the elevation is very high and I'm going like, soon I'll be there and arriving at my destination and minutes and minutes and another half hour and another half hour. And I finally arrive, or I feel like I've arrived at the village, and these children are running down the hill because they've long since seen me long before I saw them, because this is their backyard. And you know how children are, they're paying attention to everything. And the children came out, and they're just coming out, and they're just like, you know, they were so used when North American people show up, they love to be so cute and show off what they know, so they wanted to say high five, because that was like such a cool thing. They wanted to show me that they were cool. You know, so, you know, and of course they're, you know, they speak Quechua there, but they also have Spanish, so they're going, alto cinco, so they're high five, you know, so I'm like slapping their hands and stuff like that, and they're so cute, and they take, when I do that, they take my hand, and I'm literally walking into the village holding their hands, and there's a trail of them behind me, and they're all like, now it's my turn to hold his hand. I can hear them, I can feel that, even though they're speaking in Quechua, I can hear them say, it's my time to hold his hand, because we have a visitor. We have a guest. It's a long way he's come to be with us. And I come into the village, and there's the mothers and the fathers and the grandfathers and the grandmothers and the great-grandfathers and the great-grandmothers, you know, and everyone is there. And there's this beautiful word that I'm hearing again and again as I come in. They're saying to me, Munasanko, which in the Quechua language means, I love you very much. And, you know, you might think that that would be something, you know, that we would be reserved when you had known someone for a while, you know, like your beloved. Oh, I love you very much, sweetheart. You know, you would find this level of like, you know, beautiful, interactive love. They didn't know me. They had never met me before, or at least that's the feeling. I guess shamanically you'd say, maybe we have all met each other because we're really all one. We're simply aspects of that divine source reemerging and meeting each time we get together. So everyone was coming up to me and saying, Munasanko, I love you very much. As the day progressed in the village, I was watching the, you know, the weaving that was going on. I was watching the sacks of potatoes that were being carried in from the fields, the corn plants that were being tended, watching those that were taking care and bringing in the llama and alpaca, animals that they take off herding. You know, and often the herders are like little 4 or 5 year old little girls or boys. You know, and these large herds of animals, they go off walking in the hills for them to harvest the grains and the grasses that they eat. And I realized that Munasanko, that I love you, was being activated or manifested in everything that they did. The way that they loved their children, the way that they talked to each other, the way that they touched the animals and the earth. That I love you was everywhere. I love you very much was just everywhere and everything. And they had a fire that night to honor a very powerful moment for them. They were honoring the way that the harvest had been very powerful for them. They were honoring the way that all the babies that had been born in the last many months. They were honoring many things about the gift of life. And I think it always impresses me in people who live in these very high mountain environments where you would say it was sort of harsh living. I mean, when it's cold, it's really cold. And when the wind blows, it's everywhere. But they were honoring this gift of life as if they knew that it was that precious. And I think we know this too. This is what this community is all about, is honoring the gift of life. And at the fire that night, there was many things that were shared, you know, and many things that were brought forth, and there was singing, and there was dancing, and there was laughing, and there was that deep, deep centering as everyone gathered and remembered the sacredness of who they were. In other words, it's this place where I realized that they never took anything for granted. They didn't take their food for granted. They didn't take the shelter for granted. They didn't take the gift of the family members that they were with for granted. Because it's possible that an avalanche could come down and take out somebody who was out walking, or, you know, many things could happen. And I think we know that place as well. Life is very, very precious. Enjoy it and celebrate it while it's here. So the ceremony progressed. It was these powerful moments. And at the very end, I was sitting with one of the elders. And, you know, I don't know how old she is. And I think she's still alive, but she looked to me like she was about 103 years old. But I mean, who knows, in the mountains with everything. But she was sitting there with me, and we were dialoguing. And I had someone there who could help me interpret, because she did not know any English, and my Quechua was pretty limited at that moment. So I asked her to share with me a little bit about what her teachings were about. And she says, "We've been teaching you all day already." She says, there's nothing left to say. And maybe there was nothing ever to say. And being, of course, curious, I continued to sort of ask more questions. And she kept weaving me back to listening to what has always been there all day long. What did I experience? What was I hearing even that morning as I approached the village? What was the first thing that I felt? What greeted me? And I was remembering those darling, cute children that were now being tucked into beds by their parents. And their little, beautiful, shining eyes. And even they, Munasanko, the first thing that they said to me, after the high five, because you got to be cool, right? You know. And it was just so powerful to remember. It's like, you know, the teachings of life, the teachings of what it is to be alive, to encounter this living mystery that we call life, is really everywhere. I mean, there's great books out there. And sometimes people give amazing talks. I've been here at the center many times, and David gets up here and says things, and I'm like, I'm forever changed. He just offered me a life-changing invitation, and I felt my whole self say yes to it. But that the old ancient medicine woman that I was talking with in the village, who I would refer to as a shaman, this woman who sees the aliveness in all things. It's not a religion. It's a quality of being. It's a quality of wanting to dialogue with the truth of life all around. She was pointing me back to the whole tapestry of the day, expressing that message of what are the teachings? What are the essence of the teachings of this way of the shaman? And it was at that moment that I realized that everyone in the village was a shaman. It wasn't like, oh, over here is the shaman, and they're special, and over here I'm tending the sheep or the alpaca, and over here here's someone else with the potatoes, and oh, they take care of the corn, and over here, well, they're gonna take care of the children. No, everyone was a shaman in the village. And that includes all the children too. And these villages, they are aware that the teachings, the mystery of life, the hints, the voices, the dialogue of the truth is emanating from everyone. And so everyone in the circle is a wisdom keeper, a heart keeper, an earth keeper. Everyone expresses that essence. And so there's that wisdom is living in everyone. It's a very living wisdom. I slept really well that night, despite that I had a slight headache from the altitude, and my body was getting used to things, and I took a while to go to sleep. But I was reviewing that gift of that munasanko, that I love you very much, that I'd been receiving all day. And I was recognizing the quality of this being. And I think that this is really, this story is sort of, as I stood up here and said, what needs to be shared, I was looking into all of your eyes. And I've really enjoyed seeing people that I've met here before when I've been a guest here, and some new faces. And, you know, inside of all of us is that I love you very much. It's living inside of us. I mean, in essence, if you had been with me at that village and you had seen the glow in the eyes of everyone there, you might have thought, oh, look, they've got something magical here. And I'm simply just, you know, like I did, just simply thinking I'd like to be a part of that. But the medicine woman shared with me that actually I'm already a part of that. That's why we're even here. That's why everything is here. That's why spring is here. All the flowers around the center, the glow in everyone's eyes. If we got really quiet in here and we all had one of these really cool microphones right next to our heart, and for a moment we just closed our eyes and listened to our heartbeats. Now that would be really interesting sounding. But if all our hearts were just beating and echoing in here, and we were just breathing, we would hear that, I love you very much, just emanating from the heart space. So this, the primalness of when we seek to dissolve into the oneness, when we seek to acknowledge the oneness of life inside of us, that quality of spirit that's living through us all the time. This is the place where the shamans say, we dream from. We dream from that centered place of stillness inside, that place of our heartbeat, that place of that munasanko, I love you very much. And it's so utterly powerful to know this somehow. There's a, what I might refer to as an empowerment, to realize that within, and it's the same message that David gives all the time, and Glorici and others that have come in here and spoken, and even in your own personal moments where you're just still and quiet with yourself, you know that this is very true. There's that empowered place within where that I love you is emanating from you. So this, the shaman, this way of the shaman is really about getting still enough to be able to encounter that sacred being within. And to realize that you are all part of a village that holds that quality of loving. That there's not just the one voice, although there is a one source, perhaps, we would say, using words. But all of us in this community, in this room right now, are holding the wisdom, are holding that truth in the heart. It's in our very cellular field. And it really, what's beautiful, I love this. I love this so much about this. And David talks about this all the time. You know, there may be ways that we feel that like, well, who am I to hold that level of truth? Who am I to, you know, maybe I've not been good enough. You know, there's that word that we say, judgment. We might judge ourselves and just think like, well, I couldn't be up here by the podium. I'll just stand right next to it because this person here really has the thing to say. When actuality, Spirit wants us to stand at the podium of self and say, we have a beautiful voice in our heart that we can share forth. And the first person to share forth that to is ourselves. I mean, think about it. When's the last time that you looked in the mirror? I mean, we do this to like maybe comb the hair and maybe brush the teeth or just wake up in the morning and say, I'm not sure who you are, but I'll wash your face anyway. You know, in this whole encounter of mystery, right? It's like, I don't know. Let's just get on with the day. We'll figure this one out as we get on with the morning. Maybe a cup of coffee will help, right? But to actually be able to look into your eyes, you know, in a mirror, or maybe it's a beautiful pond. Maybe you're out walking in the hills around Huntsville. Maybe you're down by the Tennessee River going like, wow, what an amazing thing this river is. You know, it's fresh and new. And actually be able to look into your eyes, look into that reflection of self, and see the grandness that lives in there. And make yourself available for that. This way of the shaman is really about knowing that there's nothing to learn. There's nothing to fix. There's nothing broken. It's not like there's this place like, oh, here I don't know anything, and over here finally I do. I'm graduating. Look at me. Look at all I've learned. It's really each moment of life, when we come into this world, we are already an emanation of all the wisdom, all the love, all the presence that life is filled with. And we are making this beautiful journey to remember that within ourselves and to show up to receive it. It's, you know, I say remembering is the first step, but what about celebrating that? What about allowing ourselves to just dialogue and interact with that wonderful being? You know, it can create some pretty outrageous moments. Like I remember once I was working with some students and we ended up having to go make a journey to the grocery store, you know, and this is up in Nashville, Tennessee, and there was this moment where the people that were with me we had just been talking about this very thing, and so they were just like going like, wow, love lives inside of me, and they were showing up to receive that beautiful gift. So we got to the grocery store, and you know how like you kind of like you think, okay, I'm out in public now, I kind of better chill a little bit here, not act so crazy. Well, they were so filled with that. And I'm actually kind of inviting people to act a little crazy out in public. Let's go ahead and be our loving selves. What would happen? That could be really great for Huntsville, Alabama, right? We could cause a scene. There's too much love going on here. We better call the authorities in. You know, we need security. There's way too much loving going on here. I don't know what we're going to do with this. But they were walking up like, wow, carrots. Wow, these carrots are like really amazing. And they're having these conversations with the produce. And then, you know, and that was just the beginning. And then they're coming over here. And it's like everything, they were greeting the life that was in everything. It was just like, wow, this is amazing. And it was, and people are going through and they're kind of looking like, what's up with these guys, you know? You know, thankfully it was a Sunday morning. We didn't look like we were like, you know, hungover or anything like that. So, but it was just that quality of just like when you get that impassioned about receiving life, you start to see that in everything. You start to see that anima, that spirit of life in everything, the aliveness in all things, all people, all situations. It's where you hear the rocks sing and the trees sing. You hear the clouds sing. You hear the chairs, the floor, the rug, the lights, the heartbeats, all of it singing. Munasanko, I love you very much. That message, I have my way of knowing that, but I'm inviting you to remember that message that I love you very much is emanating from you and emanating from everything. And that's why we're here. So many wisdom keepers talk about that. That's why we're here. To dialogue that I love you very much. So I love that the hints of the great mystery, it doesn't necessarily make the mystery any less mysterious, but we suddenly have a door that we can open up within in a language, in a dialogue, in a voice that's our very own, that honors the truth of who we are, that allows us to be able to fully encounter the oneness of all things. That's what the way of the shaman is to encounter that place of oneness. And we're already there. There's nothing to learn. There's nothing to be. There's no barriers that can stop you from experiencing that love. We all stand here as those and sit here in this room, all of us, teachers of this great knowing. I wanted to make sure, because I know that there may be some curiosity around your own experience of your journey of life, I wanted to offer a little space for some questions, some inquiries around things that you were seeking. But let me frame it a little bit, because if it's in the traditional way where you think like, okay, I'm sitting out here and this person who's standing up here has the answers and I'm going to ask the question in order to find an answer, it won't work that way today. And I don't think David kind of works it that way either, because he pulls people in. It's like we're all sitting here when we ask a question, we're all bringing forth this powerful place of curiosity. And we can all answer the question together. So if you have questions today, I'd like you to ask it from the perspective of not that you don't know, but from just a place of curiosity, because curiosity doesn't have a little, curiosity always makes me have it's a playfulness to it. You know, there's like asking a question, but there's being curious. This curiosity makes me think of little children that are just like peering up behind the bush going like, what's up with that? And they're kind of excited and kind of like dialoguing with it and kind of really interested. And it's a full body experience to be curious, a full soul experience to be curious. So if you have some questions or things that you'd like to ask to the space of Munasanko, that I love you very much, that's here in this room today, let's ask it from a place of curiosity and see what together. I might even ask you a question back to help find the fullness of it, because we can dialogue together.
If you have a question, please raise your hand and I'll bring the mic so that you can ask him directly. Okay? This is Claire with a question.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask, I know that we are here to love. I feel you're here to be love.
Mm-hmm.
What would you suggest? Or what do you do, or what does anybody do when you're out in the world and you encounter a being that you really, that, you know, just brings up all your stuff, like like the president, you know, honestly, people that hurt animals and the earth, people that don't get what's going on with the earth right now.
Yeah.
Really bring up.
Yeah. Yeah. If David was up here at the same time when you said hurt animals, we'd probably both be crying and hugging each other and be like, great. Well, she just asked the question. Now we can't talk anymore because we're crying.
And I know they're my brother. They're my brothers and sisters. And that there's love in them.
Sure.
I know that there's, and they may be wonderful to their parents and to elderly people. But, you know, I want to come from a place of love. I know that's the most powerful position I could take. But, sometimes I don't know whether to be active or to just sit and hold the space, you know. You know, what? I'm not sure what to do. I'm looking up, like, ever since I saw an article about just about You know, how New York is eliminating plastic bags, and I'm so happy. I try to stay on the positive side and share the positive things, and that's what we got to do. That's the road that we got to follow. Keep eliminating styrofoam. Just keep... Anyway, that's what I wanted to say. What do you do when those things come up? When friends or family, you're sitting at a dinner table, and you know, and they're talking about... You know, just yesterday, somebody bought a Trump flag right in front of me, and for me... He just represents all the greed and selfishness that capitalism is about. And I don't want to be against something, so I'm at a sort of, I don't know what to do with that.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Wow, that's so, so powerful of a question of curiosity. You know, I'll speak kind of very openly here. You know, to me, when something has a charge to it, you know, we kind of know what that means when there's a situation or a person or an encounter and suddenly we're like, it just, there's, we just know that we would say, okay, I've been charged by this thing. Something doesn't feel, I feel like there's something about my inner balance is kind of like thrown off or it agitates me or whatever. Just that quality of that. And it can be really passionate stuff. I mean, this isn't lightweight stuff. This is not like, okay, well, whatever about that. This is huge stuff. You know, the path of the way of the shaman really encourages the first thing to do is to tend to the observer, which means to tend to self. It's because ultimately, you know, this pathway, this way of the shaman is really about finding a way to love oneself no matter what. No matter what's going on around you, to offer your own self that quality of I love you very much. So the first thing to tend to is oneself. I mean, I've been in situations like you're in, and I'll literally wrap my arms around myself, you know, because I'm thinking, I mean, like if I was here, I'd be like, hey, man, let's give a hug, get a hug, you know, it's like we could, you know, feel that great comfort. But if I'm literally feeling like physically, like I'm just by myself, literally hug myself. I might close my eyes. I might just drop inside. Now, sometimes you can't do this if you're listening to the radio and there's news comes on and then you're driving. You can't, you know, the police officer would be like, do you know why I pulled you over? Because I was hugging myself and my eyes were closed? Exactly. You can't do that, okay? You've got to keep your eyes open, okay? I'll issue you a warning. But, you know, you do what you can to kind of drop in and just immediately, like, love yourself and send that quality of love and also send that quality to yourself of not... And it's not a place of like thinking, okay, like you were saying, very compassionate. It's not like I'm right and somehow this is wrong. I know that can be so challenging because sometimes it's coming from a place where like we have a truth that we're holding and some other individual or individuals or a collective system is not honoring that truth. I mean, it would be very hard for me to think that if I love, like let's say imagine we had a really cute dog right in the middle of the room now that we just love so much. And we just petted it and loved it. And then we saw someone hitting it later on today. It'd be really hard to think there's anything about that that's not wrong. I mean, even I'd be like, okay, let's check the box, right or wrong. I mean, I try to resist going there because maybe I need to be compassionate. What's going on in that person? But the first step, love oneself. Love the person that's having the experience of feeling the charge. So love yourself, love yourself, love yourself. That's the very first thing to do because the place where we offer our greatest resource in to the world is when we can experience that I love you to self. We are emanating that I love you. In fact, we actually, as the shamans would say, we start to bring an inner balance within ourselves. The very quality that is living inside of us is the energy that we emanate into the situation. And it's not just an immediate thing like if we do that here in the room, everybody in the room gets it. Actually, Huntsville gets it. Alabama gets it. The whole Southeast gets it. The whole Pachamama, the Earth Mother, gets that. And on and on and on. The whole universe, all of cosmic creation, is receiving that balancing of just restoring yourself to your own love. And I find that when we've done that quality of befriending self, to borrow a word from my Themisia, who she uses that word a lot as a fellow teacher, that sense of we befriended ourselves, we've loved ourselves. From that perspective, it's often a lot of resources can come in to begin to befriend the situation around us. doesn't mean that we have to like it. It doesn't mean that there's not something that needs to be, should we say, dealt with. But we go into the quality of like loving ourselves. It extends that energy out and we start to befriend the situation around us. And that's where we can actually use these spiritual resources that we talk about here at the center of compassion and non-judgment and curiosity and seeking to wonder and start to put that in the situation. And I have found that that's allowed me to send a big love energy. It's the same thing to children. You know, it's very interesting in the mystery of it all, in that village that I was referring to in the Peruvian Andes, whoever had showed up there would have received a Munasanko. Even the very person that you might have been, you know, referencing some people, I mean, they would have received that I love you very much, because inside of all of us lives the I love you. It doesn't matter what we've done, who we are, how we show up in the world, that I love you very much lives inside of us. And that's who we then begin to dialogue with, is that it, which is in all of us, regardless of how we might perceive how their actions or beingness is. And I think that that gets us in, as we say, in a high resource state, because we are all activists here. I mean, I would borrow the word activist. I mean, we all encounter things. We're all acting. We're all wanting to, like, let's take care of the earth. Let's take care of people. Let's take care of communities. Let's take care of children. And we're going in noticing the situations that need some support. But if we can come into it from the non-judgment, compassion place, and we can come to it noticing that I love you very much, that we can source into that place, we're in a high resource state. We have the best opportunity to affect a positive or nurturing influence. So that's one answer.
Thank you so much. Yeah. I heard very loudly as you were speaking, my love is not conditional.
Mm.
So, wow. It was like, thank you so much.
Thank you for such a beautiful question and the teaching that comes from that. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Who else has a question? Okay, Jane. This is Jane.
Hmm. Hello, it's good to see you again. I'm so glad Matt's with us this week and we get to bar him from your
right. We're glad you're here. I have a question about your shaman school.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Of the people that are successful in that, do you feel like this is something that they're born with, or is it something that's just learned?
Hmm. That's a nice open question, yeah. You know, it's interesting. There's like almost like two parts to that question, because the pathway of the shaman is one aspect of what happens in shaman school. It's where we're actually, I mean, to me, every time we show up here at the center for Wednesday night stuff or come here on a Sunday to hear David inspire us, hear the music, all the different things, it's really the same pathway. We're actually encouraging a quality of how we relate to ourselves so that we can actually befriend and love ourselves and be able to go to a place of stillness enough to observe the magnificence within. I mean, in a lot of ways, I think of the shaman school as a place to sort of encounter the sovereignty of self. You know, we're actually doing work this very weekend where we're getting to kind of step away from the way family has held us and the way that, you know, our ancestry has held us and the way our cellular nature has held us. So we can step free of that, not to get away from it, but just to be able to be very conscious about what we're doing in this life so that we can consciously encounter ourselves, our lives, without all the influences, because that allows us to even love our family more and receive the gifts. It even allows us to love our body more, heal from all sorts of issues, you know. So shaman school is really about that very personal pathway of coming back to the place of I love you very much to self. So I feel like everyone can do that. I feel like everyone can experience a journey like that. You're already doing it. When I tell students, and they can say, yes, did he say this for real? You can check me out. But I said, there's nothing, we're doing a process here. This whole journey through shaman school is really a pathway that you're already walking. All of you in the room, all of you, you yourself, are already walking that. And the success is not a the destination. It's more of a beingness in the moment. Because I don't think that there is a destination like, oh, now I'm successful at that. I finally figured out how to love myself. I mean, I don't know, that would be a really interesting question. You'll ask yourself, am I really able to love myself? You know? But you could say, like, how about in this moment? What if I drop into this moment and remember that the divine creator source lives in me, through me? Now could I love myself in this moment? Yes. So shaman school is about that deepening. The other part of the question, I think, is really, just to just briefly say, is like, you know, there are times where we say, I'd like to really be able to offer this to others. I'd really like to be able to sort of stand in the role, like, you know, think of David. He's gone through school and he's supported himself so he could share and steward a community in the same way the shaman could steward a larger thing. So I think that people can be successful in that practitioner place as well. And I don't think it's something that we're born with. I think it's a quality of just encountering love within. Mm.
Yeah, thank you. I have one other small question.
Yes.
We talk about our ancestors a lot.
Yes.
I was adopted.
Mm-hmm.
So I get, but I have just last year met my birth family and learned a lot about those ancestors.
Oh, that's amazing. There has to be an amazing door that you opened up.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. like, but, you're like on low.
So when someone says ancestors, I'm a little confused as to whether it's my birth ancestry that goes back a long ways that I have now found out about, or is it the people that I knew as I was growing up?
It's both. You know, I think Flamisia yesterday when we were teaching, we found the word, those that have influenced us, which could be our blood lineage. It can also be the people that raised us. It could be the dear neighbor. It could be like, you know, I mean, in a sense, you know how family becomes a larger thing? You know, when we talk about, you know, you befriend somebody and you get to know their wife and their children or something like that. And next thing you know, the kids are calling you uncle. Uncle Stephen, we're so glad you're here. You're not the uncle, but you've now been brought into as a part of the family. And so those strong influences are how we can encounter, as we look at those that have held us to the point, we can turn and say, I'm walking into destiny knowing what's there. And I want to be in balance. I want to be in harmony. I want to really be able to source the gifts from this, but also make sure that if there's any little things that feel a little sticky that I can't really seem to get some traction on, let's leave those behind and do it with love. You know, we're not dismissing family. Oh, I've had it with you. I'm out of here. No, it's more like, thank you for all the gifts that have come, both those that came with love and those that came through challenge, which led us back to love. So it's both, all the influences.
Thank
and that's
you.
That's beautiful. It's to celebrate your journey to discover more about yourself through this new window.
It's been quite interesting.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sure.
Mm.
Someone back here had a question? Okay.
Thank you. I'm glad you're here, Stephen. So I've always been attracted to shamanism because of the organic attitude it had towards homosexuality, that homosexuals
yes.
were revered
yes.
right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I'm wondering about, because my spiritual development has been informed through recovery and 12-step group, and
yes.
we've got Refuge Recovery here at the center now,
yes.
where we meditate, and it's Buddhist-based.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been kind of moving away from the 12-step AA group. But I'm just wondering in general, you know, it sounds great to say to love yourself.
Right, right.
But when you're knee-deep in addiction, and usually addiction is coupled with clinical depression, and there's a cycle of destruction and remorse and guilt and self-hatred, and then it just, I mean, it's just like a spiral that goes
mm-hmm,
down.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point in the recovery process, you have to break the spiral. You have to break that pattern and say, we're going to stop doing the self-hatred and we're going to start to love. But how in your traditions, how do you handle that and your attitude towards addiction? Because I'm genetically born to be addicted, okay? I can just be addicted to anything.
Mm-hmm.
Cigarettes, sex, alcohol, shopping, sugar, anything. Just, you know, put something in front of me that's attractive, and I.
You're like the Velcro, the Velcro addiction thing, where it's just going to stick to you, and yeah.
It is a distraction, but I also do know it's genetic.
Yeah.
Something happens to me when I ingest alcohol or drugs. So I'm just interested in seeing what y'all think about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a very powerful question, you know. And I'm glad that you morphed it into like thinking of addiction as just as larger patterns, you know. And to me, there's the challenge of self-love in a situation like that. I think that's the part that I was really hearing. I'd like to kind of use that as the departure into sort of exploring with curiosity your question. You know, I have seen through thousands of clients do a lot of work with addiction. It's like that's like it's almost like a no-go zone. There is such a like you said, there's the spiraling. There's the place where it's like, you know, it's like I can almost get there, and then shoom, it just slips. It's taken away from you. It's in the what builds up the self-image that builds up around that. Even with the voice within the head that just says, we're really messed up here. I don't know what to do. I feel like life is slipping through my fingers. I can't be there. And this very, very powerful thing, you know, with addiction, of this place of wanting to, like, almost like be something else, almost like leave your body behind. There's a lot of like exiting because the depression, the heaviness, the lost moments are almost unbearable. Let's just put it straight up. There's an unbearableness in those moments, in all the series of moments. And so it's a really powerful thing. It's like, well, who am I loving? Let's just pretend you said, okay. I mean, you know, like, all right, I'm willing to try this one. I'm willing to try self-love. Who am I loving? Who is the me that's here? I think of patterns that emanate in the form of what we might call addiction. It's very hard to know who is the person that is asking for the love, and who's the person that's receiving the love. Where it's a feeling of so many screens or so many pathways away from that center that's us. That's really the us, you know. And I think that one of the things that I encourage with my clients and encourage with people in recovery situations, which doesn't mean that you're not still working with the situation, but you're saying, I'm willing to walk a path here to be more conscious and encounter this, is that to look for, sometimes we need a jump start. I think about this. I watched the other day, I was in a playground. And this is a little bit off the mark, but it's a little something that seems worth noticing. There was a little child that was running, and she looked about like maybe about a year and three quarters old or something like that. She ran and she tripped on something. I don't know what. She just skidded out. The knees got skidded out. She got dirt all over. And it was very upsetting. So she got up and she started crying. You know, she was upset. Well, suddenly this really beautiful young woman came and just like scooped her up. It was her mother. And hugged her and just held her, you know. It's had a hand on the back, a hand on the lower back, holding close to her heart, her belly. You know, it was just this fullness. You could even imagine that now. What would it be like if a big mother could come and pick you all up? We're all so big now. We still like to be cuddled and held, right? Why do we have to get so big? It was so nice when we were little. If that's what we experienced, and if we didn't experience that, we can imagine that. So in that moment, the little girl, it's because we're all wired for community. We're all wired for a larger framework. Although we are individuals, we can stand alone and say, I'm here with spirit. But we also know that life is really the unified whole of it all. So in that moment, the little girl was reaching for and received a larger spectrum that could help her reboot or come back to what was her center, to come back. And, you know, after about, you know, 6 or 7 minutes of that, she's off and she's back on the swings. You know, daddy, push me higher. You know, it's like, so it was just, she rebooted, but she needed some support, and it was not disempowering support. This was an organic, very natural support. So with a situation of a pattern of addiction or the place of going like, who am I? Who is the person that's asking for the love? Who's the person that's going to receive this? How do I walk through all this? It's very important to have a non-judgmental space around you, which could be in the form of trees and lakes and blue sky and mountains, but it could also be in the form of other two-leggeds like ourselves. There's something really magical about meeting our own species and getting love from that. Because in that, the oneness of that space, and this is not like, oh, I have to find people who do not have addictions because I must reach for somebody that doesn't have that. No, this can be, I've seen this powerfully done. People who are all working collectively on stepping away from patterns of addiction and finding the source point of where that's even coming from, whether it's genetic or other things or however it's expressing itself, they can all offer that reboot for each other. Because then it's like someone can come up and unconditionally offer. I mean, when I was last here, David gave me a hug. I'm at the door. He gave me a hug, and it wasn't just a regular hug. This was a hug of like the whole universe existed in that hug. And in that moment, I knew the universe loved me through David. And he was still David. He was a regular. He's regular David. He's just like you, just like me, just like all of us. But in that moment, he was channeling that whole universal love. So it's very important. It's interesting. In a minute, I'm going to give you a hug when we step out in the hallway. I'm almost guaranteeing that I'm going to experience that universal fullness of love through you. And you may be sitting there going like, I'd love to have some of that. How come I can give it to Stephen? What about me? It's living inside. And so when we encounter others offering that to us, it sings a song to that within us that may be the very hardest thing to encounter or reach for. And it begins to sing us awake again to that part of ourselves that is not in the pattern of addiction, that's not in the pattern of jettisoning from self, that can even feel for a moment safe. I want to say it's a world out there, a lot of people deal with addictions. A lot of stuff is like, it's hard to feel safe. So that's why a community like this is so powerful. Because in this moment, we get charged with the newness of what is it to encounter universal love, even for ourselves. So thank you so much. That was a really powerful question. And I honor you on your pathway very much.
That's all the time we have right now.
Okay, it's all the time we have.
Yes. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your holding space and your wisdom. Thank you.
For listening to our podcast. For more information, please visit www.cslhuntsville.org.